Rolene Marks, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. I tell you, I'm exhausted after this week, Howard. I'm emotionally exhausted. What can I say?
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, you know what? We're exhausted here emotionally in South Africa. Can you imagine having another election to deal with, to report on, and to try and understand where are we? What is it looking like?
Well, you know, first of all, we're all experiencing a sense of déjà vu because we went to our second round of elections in just 6 months. But it is quite a fascinating election, and it's turning out to be the election that nobody could have predicted. First of all, the voter numbers were up quite significantly on April, which most people were surprised at because we thought there would be a significant amount of voter apathy because of, you know, the stalemate, because we haven't had a proper government. But results being absolutely fascinating. At the moment, we still have a deadlock. However, Kahol Velavan, that's Benny Gantz's blue and white party, is still leading the Likud by 2 seats. And now, of course, the horse trading and the behind the scenes finagling has begun. So yesterday, a lot of urgent conversations taking place between Netanyahu and various parties and Benny Gantz and various parties. The mudslinging has begun. Of course, you know, it's Avigdor Lieberman who, you know, to use a Game of Thrones analogy, could be the kingmaker or the kingslayer. Because he yesterday said that it is likely that his party will tap Gantz to form the next government. He said it's enough of Netanyahu with his tricks and shtick. Those are his words, guys. Yeah, I kid you not. But also,
how very professional, right?
I mean, he was a bouncer, Howard. He was a bouncer.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Well, he almost bounced a very pushy journalist out of
his
line of sight
the
other
day. But, oh dear!
But in all seriousness, he was a bouncer, and you know, Netanyahu on Wednesday night was very firm. You know, he doesn't want an anti-Zionist government, and there should be a coalition government, and he must lead it. And his language kind of softened yesterday when he spoke about a unity government. However, as many of us say, you know, he spoke about a unity government with his fingers crossed behind his back.
Right. Sure.
But one thing's for sure, even though we don't know what the definite outcome will we have a unity government Gantz is pushing for, which Lieberman endorses. You know, we still have to see with a joint list, that's the third highest. And that is just quite remarkable. If we can just for a second acknowledge that the third highest performing party in these elections was the Arab joint list. So for those who are calling Israel all kinds of names, I guess we are an epic fail at that.
So true. So it's fascinating.
It is fascinating. So they will have their influence, and they have famously said that they want a government without Netanyahu. So while
take your number and wait your turn. I mean, does anybody? I mean, how many people are left to want a government with Netanyahu?
Well, this is it. So we have the smaller parties forming kind of a right-wing bloc, plus the Likud, that are prepared to back Prime Minister Netanyahu, who has said that he's open to a unity government, as long as he starts the, you know, as long as it's under his stewardship, and maybe, you know, we can talk a revolving premiership afterwards. We also, very interestingly enough, heard from the ultra-Orthodox party, United Torah Judaism last night, who kind of also did a bit of a U-turn with regards to Yair Lapid. They essentially, over the years, have not liked him because of his stance on the ultra-Orthodox having to serve in the IDF and going to the workplace, and they said they will not sit with him. They're for ribald, Howard. You know, you know, Jews.
Unbelievable. Wow. It's like it's really personal, this whole thing.
It's very personal. I mean, they said that they will not sit with Lapid until he puts on tzitzit. But last night saying, okay, well, you know, maybe we're prepared to talk coming into a unity government. But we will know on Sunday when President Rivlin calls everybody in for consultations. I'd love to be a fly on the wall with that one, albeit an exhausted fly. But there does seem to be a consensus that we will be moving forward, perhaps without Prime Minister Netanyahu that we could very well be seeing the end of the Netanyahu era.
It seems to me that the Americans are aware of this as well. You know, we haven't had very much contact between Donald Trump and Netanyahu, and he's even made a comment at Trump, their Trump administration, well, that our relationship is with Israel, you know, not necessarily with one person. So that also signals the fact, I think, that they are gearing themselves up towards life without, you know, a post-Netanyahu life.
Absolutely. And, you know, many are reading into that statement from President Trump, you know, because throughout his campaigns, Bibi Netanyahu has very much traded on the relationship between himself and President Trump. You know, it's a very personal relationship. It's this, it's that. And also we have to take into account the very, very fractured relationship at the moment, which, of course, could change moving forward between U.S. Jewry and the State of Israel. American Jews, in their majority backing Prime Minister Netanyahu. A lot of issues with him seen as pandering to the ultra-Orthodox. You know, you and I've had those famous discussions around egalitarian prayer at places like the Kotel. You know, as a public diplomat, I'm quite fascinated to see if there's a change in Netanyahu in government, and we have a new premier in Benny Gantz, who I'll share an anecdote with in a second. Mm-hmm. How is that going to impact on Israel's image around the world? Because a lot of people see the country through the lens of Prime Minister Netanyahu. That's going to be a fascinating study for us, Howard. I know you engaged in public diplomacy as well, but what I found very, very interesting, you know, sitting with a group of Israelis a couple of weeks ago, and somebody who had served with Benny Gantz said, you know, he almost wants him to be unsuccessful in this campaign, because he is such an honorable man, a man of such integrity, that he doesn't want him to be tainted by politics. Isn't that fascinating?
Wow, that's actually very nice to hear. And perhaps, you know, I think that a lot of the reason that people continue to vote Netanyahu and hope that he secures the premiership again is out of fear of what will happen in a post-Netanyahu world. Is Israel gearing up for that, and what is the sentiment around it?
What a fantastic question. Well, first of all, we can't detract from Prime Minister Netanyahu and his achievements.
Absolutely.
In security, in diplomacy, and in the economy. I think what has been the turning factor for many Israelis has been his campaign over the last couple of months, and has been movements by the Likud and parties. You know, everybody's quite happy that Otzma, the Kahanist party, didn't cross the threshold into this new government. But I think what has concerned a lot of people is movements by parties like Yamina to try and restrict the power of the Supreme Court, to try and have the Knesset have more power over the Supreme Court. Prime Minister Netanyahu's assault on journalists and the media has been very, very unattractive. And, of course, the treatment of minority communities. And I'm going to take a lot of flack. I have taken a lot of flack in the last few days by people who are absolutely terrified of a post-Netanyahu world, and some of the comments that I've had to read, racist, very intolerant, very, very judgmental. You know, at the end of the day, I think the Israeli people have said, you know, it's enough of division. We want to be more unified. We want to be more inclusive. We want to be more democratic. We're voting in favor of democracy. And I think that's been the real winner here, is, you know, that Israelis have said, more democracy, please. And we have to perhaps step away from personality politics. Mm.
What's so interesting here is that, of course, Israel is very unfairly tarred with a very severe brush of being undemocratic, whereas in fact it is really the only democracy in the Middle East. But that doesn't mean it's perfect. And Israelis are the first to recognize the imperfections and the difficulties that have arisen from primarily from the security situation. But either way, the fact that the situation needs improvement and people's lives need to be improved. And the fact is that Israelis are having that conversation, and they're also now doing it through their voice on the through voting.
Well, you've hit the nail on the head, and you know, many people, including ourselves, don't understand our electoral system. You know, there's so many parties and it's proportionate representation and who forms a coalition and what. But you know, at the end of the day, Israelis have spoken, and people may not like the outcome of these elections, but they have to respect and accept that we have this immense privilege as a democracy and as Jewish people for taking control of our destiny, and we're doing it here, and we've overwhelmingly said, you know what, we want a better Israel, we want a brighter Israel. If we do come under the stewardship of a Prime Minister Gantz, he's a man with a long background in security. He's one of our most decorated generals. He was the IDF chief of staff. He understands security, but I think for many people in these elections, it's not just security that has played a major part in our decisions. It's social issues, and we stand on the tipping point of what could be quite a remarkable future, and I'm very optimistic.
That is absolutely wonderful to hear, and a great note on which to end it. Raleen Marks, you have a fantastic weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, and we'll catch you next week.